Thank you. It's good to be back with my church family. You'll have to excuse me a minute. That song just, it always touches my heart so much. Because the mountains cry out. And some of you know I just came back from Utah. And I've spent 2 weeks with my son out there. And I think of the majesty of the mountains. When we drove into town, he lives in a valley. And you could just see the mountains. You see the snow on top of the mountains. And you just think of the majesty of God. God created all of that. And he gave it to each and every one of us to enjoy it. And I just think how blessed I am that he allowed me a chance to see that. To spend time with my son. But yet, he had to work each day. So each day while he was at work, I was spending time with God. And you know, there's nothing more special than being able to spend time with the greatest gift that was ever given to us. And that's Jesus. He came, not because he had to. He came because he loves each and every one of us. Not one more than another. He loves the vilest sinner just as much as he loves the greatest saint. He gave his life to pay that debt. And as we're looking today, whether you realize it or not, this is the last Sunday of 2014. And some may have had a great year, some maybe not so great, some maybe so-so. But you know, we as a church, we've been blessed this year. And we can look forward to what God is going to do among us in this coming year. He's given us a pastor. He's given us a place to meet. He's given us property that we're preparing to build a church to glorify his name. But as we are ending this year, Christmas, I hope you got everything you wanted. But I hope you received the greatest gift of all, and you surrounded yourselves with that greatest gift, and that was Jesus. But I want to reflect back. If you'll turn with your Bibles, we're going to look at Psalm 90 today. And this is, it's a prayer of Moses, the subtitle of Man of God. And if you remember, Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. He led the Israelites through the desert and all those years. He saw them at their best when they came out of the promised land, but he also saw them at their worst, complaining, never having enough. And how much that can remind us of ourselves. And as we reflect on this today, I just want to look at the first 12 verses today. And it reads, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as I watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present you a heart of wisdom. Heavenly Father, in these next few moments as we look at your word, I pray, dear God, as we reflect upon them, I pray that you would teach us and you would challenge us. You would change us. But your word, O God, it never leaves us the same. It instructs us, it encourages us, but it chastens us also. And it's a reminder to us day by day that we need to draw closer and closer and closer to you. because you are Almighty God. You give us each breath. But bless these words just in these moments, oh God, and may your Spirit just descend upon this place. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at that very first words, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses knew, having written the first five books, that God was their habitation. They had learned to live in God, to trust in God. Even in their slavery in Egypt, they still had their faith. They still had their God. And they trusted that. They trusted that they would live there. And Moses, reflecting upon it, you've been our habitation through all these generations. You've brought us all this far, Lord. And we want to live for you. We have lived, we've trusted you. You've delivered us out of slavery. You've delivered us out of the bondage in Egypt. You've delivered us from this life of sin. And how many of us has he delivered from a life of sin, from a life of not knowing him to a life of rejoicing in him, rejoicing in that he is our God. He is the one we serve. He's the one we love. And he loves us more than we can ever know. We think we have love for our spouses. We think we have love for our children. But you know, God loves us even more than that. And he wants us to remember that he's our habitation. He's our dwelling place. The psalmist has said, where do I find my help? I look into the hills from whence cometh my help. God is above all of us. God is in the hills. God is in the mountains. God is in, he inhabits us all. And we need to be reminded of that as we reflect, as Moses reflected in this prayer of his as he brought it. We need to reflect. God is our habitation. Sometimes we tend to forget that. We're going through so many trials, so many things happen in our lives. Sometimes we want to turn away, and we hear people say, well, if he's God, how come he allows all this to happen? He's God. He doesn't have to explain it to us. Job asking many questions the same way. God, and then if you remember in that last part of Job, when God confronted him, he said, Job, where were you when I created the mountains? Job, where were you when I did all these things? Job, where were you? And Job says, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I repent because I'm challenging God. And he is God. And even when we move to verse 2, he says, before the mountains were born or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Before this universe was even created, there was God. And he's still here today. He's still alive. He's still working. He's still changing lives today. We saw the Lottie Moon, the video. And I know of different servants that are in foreign lands even now, serving God, sharing that through that, because they realize all people need to hear that he is God. From the beginning to the end, he is God. We need to be reminded he is God. Before anything, before we took our first breath, he knew us. He knew us in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were even a twinkle in our father's eye. He knew us, and he knows us. Even now, he knows us. And we need to remember, to revere him. Not to fear him, be afraid that, like people, oh, you're going to be in nothing but a smoldering pair of shoes. But to remember, to fear him because he's God. He deserves our reverence. He deserves for us to shout to the Lord, for he is God, from everlasting to everlasting. Then when he says, you turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. If you remember, when God created Adam, he took from the dust of the ground and formed man. And you know, one day, that's going to be each one of us. Unless the rapture happens and he catches us up to be with him in the air, we're all going to return that way. We're all going to return to him. And he says, return, O children of men. Return. And as Moses, as he, I want to say, struggled with the children of Israel, return. Return. All those children, that they had the answer. They saw the miracles. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the manna in the desert. They complained because they didn't have meat. He gave them quail until it was coming out their ears. He blessed them so much. But yet all they did was complain. Complain, complain, complain. And Maybe you've heard that saying, some people would complain if you hung them with a new rope. But yet, God was still there with them. God was still watching over them. God was still preparing them. God, they complained because they didn't have water. And God says, strike the rock, Moses. Struck the rock. Water came out. They were filled. They saw the miracles. And he said, return, O children. Return. Come back to me. And some people in their struggles in this life, they want to turn away from God because God hasn't answered their prayers the way they want them to. And God continues to say, return. Return. Come back to me. I'm still waiting with open arms. I was so blessed when I was out there in Utah. My son and I being with the church. I can't remember the last time he has been in a church except when he comes here. When he's with his wife and son, which they're still in California. He doesn't go to church. He's a believer. But yet, I encourage him, you need to be in church. Return, O children. Return to your first love. And when I think he was the first one in our family that accepted Christ. And I tell, return. Return to your first love. Return to Almighty God. Return to the one who loves you so much. And we were able to go and praise God together. And it tripped my trigger. Because I knew that he was there. Not because I made him go. Because he wanted to go with Dad. To worship God. And I praise God for that. Then he says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. If you think of 2 Peter 3:8, where it says, don't be ignorant. 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day, and as a day is 1,000 years. You know, time, we are a time-conscious society. We have to be on time for work. We have to be on time for maybe meals. We have to be on time for this. Our TV shows come on at a certain time, and we got to be home for those shows. But you know, time with God means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Because 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. I mean, we think 1,000 years. It's just like my wife and I when we visited our son in Germany. We went to churches. They're almost 2,000 years old. We think in this country something's old if it's 100 years. But churches that were almost 2,000 years old, castles that were still standing. But you know, God is still standing from the beginning. And he's still standing today, and he's going to stand through eternity. And we think of that, but it's like yesterday. We think, what did I do yesterday? And as I get older, I start having to really struggle. What did I do yesterday? But yet, 1,000 years in his sight is like yesterday. It's gone. But you know, God remembers yesterday. He remembers today. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We think, oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. I got that under control. Worry about today. Sufficient is today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. But it passes by as I watch in the night. It's very quickly. Maybe 6 hours, 8 hours. A watch in the night. You think of a night watchman. He's there for his 8 hours or whatever, just walking his beat and punching the clocks and things like he's supposed to do. You know, that's not even a fraction of a second in God's sight. But we are so time conscious. We think, hey, wait a minute. I got all these things I got to do. But it's getting our priorities in order. You've swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass, which sprouts anew. You know, each morning, we get up, we have a new chance. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm a morning person. My wife hates it, but I'm a morning person. I can get up in the morning, and I'm just joyful and everything. And I remember one morning when I was out there, my son had the day off, And I come in there and I lean down and I look at him and I said, "Rise and shine, give God the glory, glory." And he says, "Dad, don't even think about it." But you know, that's the way I am. I'm perky in the morning. And like I say, it drives my wife bananas, but yet, a morning, it's a new chance, it's a new beginning, it's a new day to praise God. It's a new day to seek what He wants. It's a new day, a new challenges. And each of us have that new chance each and every day. And I would hope that when you pray in the morning, you get up and say, "Well, God, what you got for me today? Who are you going to bring into my life? Who am I going to have a chance to tell about you today? How can I live for you today? I'm new, I'm fresh, I'm ready." But He says, you set them away. They're like grass which sprouts anew in the morning. He says, in the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. But toward evening it fades and withers away. And when it comes nighttime, I'm ready to kick back in my lazy boy. That day is gone. Chances are over. And that's just like in our lives. When we're babes in Christ and we first accepted, we are so excited. We can't wait to tell somebody, "You know, I accepted Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my God." But then as we get older, "Yeah, He's my Savior. He's my God. Yeah, I trust Him." We become more complacent. But we shouldn't. It shouldn't fade away. It should be new and fresh every morning, every day, whether it's morning, whether it's noon, whether it's evening. It should be new and fresh. It not fade away. Our lives are fading away. We're getting older. I can't do the things that I used to do. I like to think I can, but He shows me over and over again that I can't. But yet, I rejoice that He's still given me a voice. He has still given me eyes to see. He's still given me a mouth to speak, to His praise, to say His glory. He's given me ears to hear. When I hear someone hurting, and I'm able to pray with them and say, "You know, God loves you. God understands what you're going through. And God wants to help you through it." And you know, we need to reflect upon that and be encouraged by that. That day by day, we have a chance to help someone. I know we just had one of our saints, Dolly, just go home and be with the Lord this past week. I've received it on a prayer request. But you know, she's with Jesus. And you know, that's the assurance that we have. That this body may turn to dust. It may grow old and fade away. But you know, I've got a new body, promise me. One that will never fade away. I've got a promise to be with Almighty God who loves me and gave Himself for me, who made the way. It wasn't I couldn't save myself, but He made the way that I could become new. I could become afresh. And as the Israelites, they faded away. All those who were 20 years and above died in that desert during that 40-year period. Said, "You cannot go into the promised land because of your lack of faith. Because you wouldn't accept the direction that I had for you." And sometimes He may cut our lives shorter. But yet He's still there with us. But He says in verse 7, "We have been consumed by your anger. By your wrath we have been dismayed." And you think of the anger that was God's when He looked at His children that He had delivered. The ones that He had promised, "I will take you out of bondage. I will take you out of slavery. I will take you and I will deliver you to the promised land, a land of milk and honey." But yet, each time they faced adversity, first thing they did was start complaining. "Oh, that I was back in Egypt. Oh, I had all the food that I wanted there. Oh, I had all these comforts. I had all these things. And you bring me out here in this desert to die." But God had a better plan for him. And you know, God's got a better plan for each one of us. We've been consumed by your anger. And you know, God sometimes gets frustrated, I think, even with us, when we are disobedient. He says He chastens those He loves. And you know, I don't like being chastened. But yet He does it because He loves me. When I am disobedient, to His leading, to His will, to His ways. He's got to do something to bring me back on track. We're consumed by His anger. And we've been dismayed. I've been discouraged. Because if you really love me, God, you wouldn't let that happen. He says, because I love you, I let it happen. I let you face that trial. I let you go through that situation because I wanted you to grow. You know, we grow through adversity. We don't grow so much through everything being so peachy keen. We grow through adversity. We grow through the challenges. And I haven't seen those mountains out there in the springtime yet, but I can imagine the flowers growing on the side of those mountains. And the struggle it is, because those roots can't go very deep. But the flowers and the beauty that would grow because of the struggles that happens through the flowers. And you know, God is the same way with us. The adversity we go through helps us to flourish, helps us to grow, helps us to trust Him more. Not trusting in Washington, D.C., not trusting in Lansing, not trusting in anyone, not trusting in our employers. For those that are employed, but trusting in Him, that He's got a better way. Then you have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. You know, God knows the deepest, darkest part of your heart. He knows your weakness. He knows where you struggle. It's not for me to know. It's none of my business. I have my own secret sins that I struggle with. And God knows them. They are presented before Him. And it's for me to agree with Him that they're sin. It's for me to confess them. To practice 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not for us to say, well, God won't see this. God sees everything. God sees when we get angry. And I've shared this many times. Highways are not my favorite things. And of all the states that I've been in, Utah has got to be one of the worst for drivers. People cut you off. They pull in front of you. And my son said, you know, these people, I don't know what's wrong with them, but it's like they can look at you and still pull right out in front of you, wanting you to slam on your brakes. And my secret sin sometimes is I don't want to pray for those people. I want to let them know what my anger really is, what my frustration really is, because you've placed my life in danger just because you're in a hurry. But God knows our secret sins. He knows that deepest, darkest part, and it's up to us to realize that. We can't hide anything from Him. He already knows it. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. And if you remember when Moses, when he was writing this, when he wrote those first five books, you remember people like Methuselah, 965 years. It was nothing for anybody to live 150, 200 years. Moses knew this. He says, our years have declined. And you know, my days may be growing shorter. The day of my home going may be soon. And you know something? I don't care. Because I know that I'm going to be with Jesus. I know the promises that He has made. That though this body fade away, I have a new one. I have the assurance. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And I stand upon that promise. I have assurance. I have a hope. And it's not just a blind hope. It's knowing God's word is true. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. God is still God. He is still on the throne. And though my days may decline, we finish our years like a sigh. Because for some, they're not ready to go. But you know, we as believers, we should be ready to go anytime, any place, anyhow. Because we know we're no longer going to have to face this sinful world. We're no longer going to have to face the pressures. We're no longer going to have to face the temptations. We're no longer having to face the lust, the greed, the selfishness that is in this world. Because when we are with Him, it's for eternity. And all that is gone. And I don't know about you, but I rejoice in that, knowing that finally I can relax. I don't have to be on my guard. In Ephesians, where it says, we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against dominions, things in the heavens. We wrestle against this fleshly body. But you know, there's going to come a time when we're not going to have to fight that fight anymore. Our days are finished. But then he says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. The average lifetime, 70 years. 70, if you read the New Testament. 70 years is the average age. 80 years if you're lucky. Some have made 100 years. We think that's old. But you know, it's nothing with God. It's a struggle. Their pride is but labor and sorrow. As we get older, it's harder and harder to get by. We can't move like we used to move. We can't run like we used to run. We can't do all those things like we could when we were young. It's labor, it's sorrow because we can't do it. And we regret that we can't because we want to so much. We want to be able to run and jump and do all these things, maybe with our grandkids. But you know, my grandkids, they can really outrun me now. I can remember the day, but you know, I can't keep up with them anymore. But my pride says, hey, you got to try. You got to try. But yet, it's sorrow, it's labor, it's my pride. But soon it's gone, and I'll fly away. We sing that song, I'll fly away. And you know, one day I will. One day the Spirit will leave this body, and I'll be home with the Lord. Paul could say, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that is such great, wonderful assurance. But then he says, who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? Who understands God's anger? We should realize God, He's not just a loving God. He's not just a merciful God. He's a God of judgment, of justice. We need to understand that. We need to turn and become God pleasers, not man pleasers. And my prayer each day, even for our politicians, for those who are in authority, is God, help them to do what's right. Not what's popular, but to do what's right. And you know, that's the same way for us. We need to not be people pleasers, but God pleasers. Not just godly men and godly women, but God's men, God's women, doing things God's way. Realizing His anger. I mean, yes, it's fleeting. Yes, He forgives us. And in that fear of Him, it's not being afraid, but it's a holy reverence because He's God. He is God. And He loves us so much. But then when I come to that last verse, the verse that my focus has been upon for these last couple, 3 weeks, it's really been in my head. Teach us to number our days, that we may present you a heart of wisdom. Make my days count, Lord. Teach me to number, help me to get my priorities in order. Teach me to number my days. I don't know how many days I might have left. But teach me to number them, Lord, that each and every day that I might seize the day. Carpe diem, seize the day. But seize the day for God. To number them, to get my priorities in the right order. God first, then family. Always God being number one. But then, a heart of wisdom. Wisdom, my definition of wisdom is, and probably always will be, wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. You know, I can read God's word. I can have all the knowledge in the world, but I don't have wisdom to apply it. If I don't personally apply it, it's just knowledge, just knowing. It's just like a recipe. You can have all the ingredients laid out, and you know, okay, I've got to put this in, this in, this in, this in. I mean, I don't cook, so it's, but you can have the recipe. But it does no good with them all sitting on the counter. You've got to put them all in, mix them all together. That is the wisdom. That is being able to put them all together and use it. Put it in the oven. Put it in the fridge. Whatever it takes. That is wisdom. Putting it all together so you can present it to your family, to others. And you know, that's what God wants from each and every one of us. To apply the knowledge that we've gained and make it become wisdom. Practical application of knowledge. You can know God's word from beginning to end, but if you don't put it into practice, all it is just words on a page. It does absolutely no good at all. But when you do it, all of a sudden, it all seems to click. It all comes together. All of a sudden, hey, duh, why didn't I know this to be? Why didn't I do this to begin with? But give me that heart, Lord, that wants to apply your wisdom to my life. Your wisdom that I can share with others. You've given me the privilege, you've given me the honor, dear God, to be called one of your children. And as one of your children, help me to apply that wisdom. Help me to number my days, to get my priorities in order that I need to apply this wisdom to my heart and to others. And as we face 2015, I would encourage you, number your days, prioritize your days, that you might apply that wisdom to your heart. God's wisdom, not man's wisdom, God's wisdom. That knowledge that you've attained as you read His Word, as you study His Word. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let that be your desire in this coming year. Let that be your desire, and let that be our desire as a church, to apply that wisdom to this body, that we would do what God wants us to do, that we would find out where God's working and do it, that we would realize we are children of God. And as children, we have responsibilities. We have given our children, as they grow up, we've given them chores to do. That is their responsibility. That is for them to do. And the same thing has been given to each one of us. A responsibility to obey God's word, to read God's word, to study God's word, to share God's word. To be that light shining in the darkness. If you remember, once again, the Israelite children, they followed the cloud by day. But remember, there was that pillar of fire by night. They followed the light. And it's for us to follow that light. That light that shines in the darkness. That light that came into the world that morning in Bethlehem. To follow Jesus. To trust Jesus. To serve Jesus. And that would be my prayer to you today. And for us to be encouraged today. Teach us. Teach us. And another one of my prayers, teach me to love, Lord, the way that you love. Teach me to forgive the way that you forgive. Teach us to number our days, to prioritize. And I would encourage you, as we're drawing to a close, as our panel has come and filled, the invitation for you today is that what you want to do in 2015? Do you want God to teach you? Allow Him to teach you. To number your days, to prioritize them. Allow God to let you have that, apply your heart to His wisdom. You're not a stranger to Him. He knows you. And I love that song when I praised him. He knows our name. He knows each one of your names. And if you're a believer in Jesus, your name is written down in that Lamb's Book of Life. But I would ask you today, commit to him. Not to me, not even to this church, but commit to him. That this coming year, teach us to number our days, Lord. Teach me to number my days, that I may present to you a heart of wisdom. I want that heart. I want that life with you. And if we would stand together today, this is your opportunity to say, Lord, this is what I want. I want this day to be the day that I commit myself to you. Not only just the remainder of 2014, but 2015 and beyond. I want to be your child. I want to be the one that you would use. I want to practice that wisdom. I want to number my days. I want to be found faithful in your sight. If you don't know him, today would be the day. Today could be the day. Today is the acceptable day of salvation. Come, trust him. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to come into your life. If you don't know him, say, it's just simple. It's just accepting that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. This song, only trust him. That's all you got to do is come by faith. It's not, well, I'll do it when I turn my life around. You'll never turn your life around until you turn your life to him. But trust him today as Savior, as Lord of your lives. And if that's your desire today, I would invite you to come. We have an altar. We have people that would pray with you. I would pray with you to trust him as Savior. If you strayed from him, tell him, Lord, I want to come back. I want to come back. I want to have that one-on-one relationship again. I want to be renewed in my love for you, my fellowship with you. I want to trust you today. If that's you today, I would invite you as we sing.
Come every soul, I say.
He's given us the instructions. He's given us the knowledge. Are you ready for the wisdom to apply it? He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. One more verse. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He was a babe in a manger, but he was still God. Will you trust him?
Coming year, may you feel his presence anew. May you commit yourself to him and him alone. And Brother Danny, as you would come and close the service, be reminded that he's there, he's real, he cares.
Thank you, Ben, for that message. As that message was going out, I was thinking of the verses that says, lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Good message for us for the end of the year, beginning of the next year. You'll get another free week, I guess you could say. No Monday night, no Tuesday night, no Wednesday night, no service tonight. So pray up, get ready, start reading your Bible through, and January of 2015 and get closer to the Lord. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, we just pray that you would dismiss us in your love. Help us not to forget tomorrow what we have heard today. Help us to hide it in our heart. Help us to read and study your word, to try to have a closer relationship with you, a closer walk with you, and a better walk with our brothers and sisters in Christ and those that don't know you as Savior and Lord. I pray you would help us to walk a life that would show them the way to Jesus Christ, the Savior who loved us and died for us. I just pray that you'd go with each family, each individual, watch over and protect us, lead us and guide us. Help us to meet again next week if it be your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.